Hey, everybody, it's on the Charlie Kirk Show. Kash Patel joins the program, and then Marjorie Taylor Greene. We talk Trump indictment, debt ceiling vote, and more. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. I encourage you to get your tickets right now to our Turning Point Action Conference. We have President Donald Trump. We have Tucker Carlson, Dan Bongino, Steve Bannon, Josh Hawley, J.D. Vance, Matt Gaetz, and more. Check out tpaction.com. That is tpaction.com. tpaction.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Reminder to get your tickets to ActCon, tpaction.com. President Trump, Tucker Carlson, Dan Bongino, Steve Bannon coming up in just about a month. We're going to be promoting it every day. Get your tickets. If you live in the Southeast, in particular, if you are listening in the great state of Florida, you need to get your tickets. Come on by Palm Beach Convention Center. It's going to be amazing. tpaction.com, tpaction.com. Joining us now is Kash Patel. Kash, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks so much for having me back.
Lots to discuss, Kash. I have the indictment here, Kash. Top line thoughts. What are we looking at here? Donald Trump will be arraigned tomorrow in Miami, Florida. And then I want to go through some of the details of the indictment. Kash Patel.
Yeah, look, from the standpoint of a normal former national security prosecutor and public defender, I think what his team needs to do is, after the arraignment, move quickly to pretrial motions, because I think this case needs to be adjudicated before it hits a jury. And this is why. The legal inconsistencies in the indictment itself by the DOJ show you their sham prosecution. For 2 years, they told you how Donald Trump ran around and stole and hid and burned classified information. And then when push came to shove and they went to a grand jury and they said, we are going to show the world that Donald Trump illegally possessed classified information. You know what they did? They didn't charge him with it. They reached back to a statute under the Espionage Act, the National Defense Information Part, which is 105 years old, which we used to charge sailors and things like that, and said Donald Trump somehow possessed information he shouldn't have. And we think he was grossly negligent, and we'll get to Hillary later. And we want you to prosecute him. But in the entire indictment, they talk about how he's waving around classified information. They both can't be true. Either he had classified information or he didn't. And in the indictment, the prosecutors admit he doesn't.
So several questions here. First, I want to congratulate you on winning your lawsuit at the Department of Justice, and your book is going to print. People can go to governmentgangsters.com. How does that tie in with this news, Kash? Connect that news with what Donald Trump's going through.
It's unfortunately the same people at DOJ and FBI that ran Russiagate and Jan 6 and are running the Hunter Biden laptop investigation. All the people in leadership positions at DOJ, Garland, Ray. And you want to know something about Chris Ray? Ray is the one who signed off on Sammy Berger, who actually stole classified information and shoved it in his pants. Ray is the one who signed off on charging that guy with a misdemeanor at the time Chris Ray was head of the criminal division at DOJ. That's what the book is all about. These people are institutionalists like Bill Barr and company, and they destroy our system of justice, and we need to get them out of there forever. And that's what government.
Is it fair to say, Kash, that this is – so the President's Records Act does not have a criminal component. Mm-hmm. So they introduced this Espionage Act of 1917 – that was passed shortly after the United States entered World War I by Woodrow Wilson, one of America's worst presidents by far. And in some ways, Woodrow Wilson also birthed the administrative state that is pushing forward the statute. It's all very interesting and fitting. Mm-hmm. We in a lot of ways, are living in the country that Woodrow Wilson built, former head of Princeton University, historicist, German historicist who hated the country, hated the founding, and became president because Teddy Roosevelt ran as a third party in the election of 1912. Looking through this indictment, though, Kash, something's missing for me. I don't see anything about destroying documents. The government got everything back. So what the heck, man? Did the Iranians pay Donald Trump $5 million for a document? Did the Russian Federation get Ukrainian troop movements?
Yeah.
What's the damage here?
And you pick up on a very fine point of the indictment that I think wrecks its entire precipice. They are saying they have a sensitive recording, putting aside the problems they have with attorney-client privilege, breaking that, of Donald Trump talking about some document to some media reporter in some book. But here's the kicker, Charlie. I looked through the indictment. The document they're talking about that Donald Trump was supposedly waving around unlawfully that was, you know, super classified isn't one of the documents identified in the indictment itself. That means to me the government doesn't have it. And what are they going to do? They're going to go in there and ask the judge for a spoliation of evidence reading to the jury. What that means is they're going to say Donald Trump was so reckless and we, the government, tried so hard to find this document, but we think he destroyed it. And that should prove his guilt. Now, that is a charge or reading that instruction that can be given to the jury. But I don't think the government has this document. It goes to your point. He didn't destroy anything. He didn't do anything unlawful. They're just using it.
Well, but then where do you think that document is then, Cash?
I don't know. I don't even know if the government knows what document they're talking about. And here's the thing, Charlie. I can relate to that. As a guy who was first subpoenaed by the January 6th committee and these same cretins were running this thing, they asked me for an hour about a document they couldn't produce that Milley had supposedly written. And I said, can you just show me the document so I can see it? And they said, we don't have it. And I said, so how do you want me, the guy you're targeting, to answer this question if you can't produce the document in question? And I think they're using the same play here.
So the indictment continues, and let's just go through the very top. It's very obvious here, but it's worth repeating. Donald Trump and Waltine Nauta. Mm-hmm. So, Cash, if you were to try to take down the mob, which you did some very heavy prosecutorial work, take down people that are up to no good, you would also indict the bag man, the body man, to try to work your way up. Is that what's happening here? Is the federal government going to try to turn this Navy veteran against Donald Trump?
That's exactly what they're trying to do to a great American in Walt Nauta. And what they want him to do is flip. And I don't know that that will ever happen. I don't believe it will. But you can't have a conspiracy without someone else. And what they wanted to do in this indictment, this speaking indictment, as we call them, is dirty up President Trump so much in the media and so much in the minds of the jury that they're just going to be like, oh, my God, he did something wrong. Plus, he's got a co-conspirator, this guy who was always around him and they were talking about stuff. Well, that guy, Walt Nauta, that was his job to be the president's personal valet and to be around and do what the president says. Every president has them and every former president has them. And so now they're just building up a conspiracy. But legally, if the president, which I believe is not guilty of the charged offenses in the top of the indictment, there can be no conspiracy. There can be no obstruction. There can be no lying to federal officers if there's no illegality in the first place. And that's why I go back to the Espionage Act and the NDI stuff we were talking about.
So this could borderline on just complaining, but it's not complaining. Is there an equal protection claim here, Cash, that secretaries of state, they weren't charged under these similar statutes for actually consciously committing these crimes? Or is that just going to fall on deaf ears with this judge?
I mean, it depends on the judge, right? Look, they drew the judge on forum shopping that they didn't want to draw, which is kind of ironic since they lied to the federal court in the charging document saying there were no related cases when they brought this charge in the first instance. So I think the judge is going to catch on to prosecutorial misconduct. I've outlined in other places Karen Gilbert's misconduct, Jay Bratt's alleged misconduct. I think that's all going to come forward. And then the smart defense attorneys will be able to couple that with other legal instances, Petraeus, Clinton, Berger, the sock drawer case and everything, and combine that to show that this was a politicized prosecution. So if we have a judge who's going to hold her ground, I think it's going to come to an end before a jury ever sees it, or it should.
Yeah, but realistically, you think that a judge is going to dismiss these charges on – I mean, look, the Trump legal team is going to do motions to dismiss. Mark Levin made a great point, though, is that the amount of pressure for top-level lawyers not to take this case is significant. Mm-hmm. So a boutique law firm is probably going to end up taking this. Mm-hmm. They have thousands of documents to go through, hundreds of witnesses, just the manpower, Cash, to figure out this maze, this thicket, this thorny labyrinth is going to be thousands of billable hours, right? And of motions that dismiss. Do you agree with that?
No. You need three solid lawyers. You need a national security guy. You need a Classified Information Procedures Act guy. And you need a litigator. I handle these cases with much less. You can do it. They don't need a big, giant law firm.
Nefarious, the number one movie on Salem Now, is available to rent today. Nefarious is like a modern-day Screwtape Letters ripping back the curtain on evil. Pastor Jack Hibbs says the movie, quote, captures what is going on today in America. Jim Caviezel, who played Jesus in The Passion of the Christ, loves this movie so much he watched it 3 times in just 5 days and says it's one of the most important films of the last decade. Matt Walsh, the filmmaker behind What Is a Woman, calls it excellent. Dinesh D'Souza calls it captivating, suspenseful, and profound. Jack Posobiec says it will knock your socks off and you will not stop thinking about it. Father Martins from The Exorcist Films calls it excellent. You've probably heard friends talk about Nefarious because it is that good. Sean Patrick Flannery and Jordan Belfi give Oscar-level performances in this movie based on the book by Steve Dace. You do not want to miss Nefarious. Visit Salem Now or your favorite video platform to rent it today, even though it's still in theaters. If you want to rent for your church or a large group, visit movienight.com to rent it today. All right, so Cash, tomorrow Donald Trump will be arraigned. What is the timeline here? What are you thinking? Should Donald Trump really push for a quicker trial? Should he try to stretch this out? What are your thoughts?
I mean, politically, I think he may want to get this thing wrapped up and shown that it's a fraud as early as possible. But in order to do that, he's going to have to file some extensive pretrial motions, not just to dismiss. You can't go to the dismissal right away. You have to build a case for the causes of corruption that are built in. And I did an exclusive about Karen Gilbert, the deputy special counsel, who I actually tried cases against in the Southern District of Florida, who is the Weissman of this case, who was caught by a judge unlawfully wiretapping a defense attorney's recorded conversations during a prosecution and was throttled by the district court. Go to the Ali Shagan case. She's running this disaster. She's the reason the case went to Miami. I think they need to challenge that. I need to challenge a Jay Bratt allegation that he dangled a judgeship in front of a lawyer for a co-defendant. And I think they need to look at all of Jack Smith's underlying activities. And they need to challenge the breaking of attorney-client privilege under the crime fraud exception, where Donald Trump is shown to have been discussing options with his attorney. And if that's the case, and that's allowed to stand, then no more counsel can ever consult with their clients and tell them what their options are, yes or no. And so I think there's a multitude.
Yeah, again, I'm a layman in this stuff, and I think I share the confusion with our audience. Piercing the attorney-client privilege is something that is so, from my understanding, rare and dangerous. Cash, have you ever, as a prosecutor, were you ever able to pierce that veil?
No. And I was glad as a public defender when prosecutors tried to pierce it against me that it never happened. And the judge that did it in this case is the chief judge, or I think the former chief judge in the District of Columbia, who basically has this case rigged against Donald Trump from jump. But the judge that was assigned the case in Miami can review those decisions and the evidence. And I think they need to bring a pretty powerful motion on that right away.
Yeah, I mean, so, but what does the law say about that? I mean,
the
United States Constitution guarantees attorney-client privilege.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And it's almost resolute. And the only instance where it can't is say, Charlie, I'm your lawyer and you come to me or I go to you and I'm like, hey, we should go kill this guy down the street. And you're like, yeah, I'll give you 20 grand for that. The crime fraud exception comes in to say these guys architected a crime together. The attorney-client privilege can no longer stand. So that makes sense. But if you were my client and you were like, what are my options? Where I'm like, well, you could pay someone off. Don't do that. That's illegal. You really want to stay clear of that kind of stuff. And then you could even ask me, what are your options as the attorney on this case? Discussing those things are what is sacrimonious about the attorney-client privilege. So it's one of those things that I think was done for political reasons. I appeared before this judge in DC. You could clearly see what her leanings were on this case.
Yeah, this is something that's really bothering me and troubling me. And so, but let me understand this. Hillary Clinton's lawyer is actually the one that destroyed the emails and destroyed the classified information. Why were we not able to pierce the attorney-client privilege in that case.
You're exactly right. I mean, that's just it. These double standards are starting to come out. And why was Hillary Clinton not charged under the National Defense Information Act for actually being grossly negligent with her attorney by destroying evidence and having classified information on an unlawful server that she communicated with people to include the current
master? And the government never got their stuff back. This is important. Hillary Clinton made things permanently disappear. Based on everything that we have available, the government was able to get stuff back. In fact, there is other, you know, harder to prove evidence, but let's just say circumstantial, that Hillary Clinton might have used all this classified stuff in exchange for donations to the Clinton Foundation.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very possible because we have massive capital inflows from foreign countries that are otherwise inexplicable. Final thoughts, Cash.
You're absolutely right. I think the two-tier system of justice is what I've told President Trump to highlight, which I think is starting to come out heavily, whether it's January 6th, Russiagate, the documents case, Hunter Biden, Hillary Clinton, Clinton sock drawer, Sandy Berger, General Petraeus, what have you. Americans are starting to realize, I don't want to be prosecuted by this weaponized DOJ and FBI because I believe in conservative values. And the middle of America is starting to realize that that could creep over to them too. And
no kidding.
Gotta win.
Cash Patel, check out his book, governmentgangsters.com. Cash, thank you so much.
Thanks a lot.
Hey, everybody, Charlie Kirk here. Every day, the parallel economy grows bigger and bigger. It's powered by everyday Americans who are sick and tired of all the woke nonsense being jammed into every product they consume. Big mobile companies are no different. For years, they've been dumping millions into left-wing causes, and we had to take it because you need a cell phone and probably thought that there was no alternative, but there is. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. They proudly offer dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks. Stop using woke wireless as they fund Pride Month and all this stuff. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending a message that you support free speech, religious liberty, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, and our military veterans and first responder heroes. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 878-PATRIOT. Get free activation today with the offer code CHARLIE. Ask about their coverage guarantee while you're there. Get the same dependable service and take a stand for your values and make the switch today. patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call them at 878-PATRIOT. Joining us now, Marjorie Taylor Greene, who gave a great speech at our Young Women's Leadership Summit. Congresswoman, welcome back to the program.
Thanks so much, Charlie. And I have to tell you, that was the best conference. There were so many young women, and I was so impressed with many of them. And it was very good to see. I really enjoyed it.
Well, thank you. So I want to dive into some of your remarks there. But first, I want to clear up just some of the confusion from our audience. Tell us about your vote on the debt ceiling, why you voted on it, and because our audience is asking about it, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, thank you for asking about that. I don't know if many people saw the news articles, but when I came to Washington that week for the debt ceiling, I had called it basically a crap sandwich, but I used another word. It was something I never wanted to vote on, and I was having a really hard time with it and understanding the bill. But I spent a lot of time talking with Thomas Massie, who has the most fiscally conservative voting record in Congress. And I vote just like Thomas Massie most of the time. And talking with Thomas Massie, there's a plan in the debt ceiling bill that allows us to use appropriations the way they're meant to be used. It separates the appropriations into 12 separate bills, which is extremely important. That stops an omnibus bill. And if Congress cannot approve 12 separate appropriation bills, it automatically goes into a CR, a continuing resolution that continues funding, except it cuts 1% of the government. So that's a 1% cut in spending after already an agreed upon $1.5 trillion cut in spending. Those are the only things in the bill that I thought were important. And I agreed with Thomas Massie on voting for that for a plan, because we need to use appropriations. That's the only tool we have to fight against the weaponized government. And I want to go ahead and announce on your show, I just tweeted it out a little while ago, that I'm writing an appropriations rider to defund Special Counsel Jack Smith's office and investigation. And I refuse to vote for any appropriation bills that fund the weaponized government or things like the FBI's new headquarters in Virginia. This is the way that Republicans can fight, and I'm committed to using appropriations for that battle.
Which will be a bigger headquarters than the Pentagon, just to be clear. We now have a domestic police headquarters that would be nicer and better furnished than the Pentagon. Really makes you think about the priorities of our government. Okay, I want to play a piece of tape here, Congresswoman, of your remarks at our Turning Point USA Young Women's Leadership Summit. Play cut 12.
You're told you can't say things like this, and I'm going to say it. I just drove up to here at the Gaylord, and I saw three flags. And one of the flags, which was just as big as the other ones, our United States flag, the Texas flag, was the rainbow flag. Shame on them. Shame on them for hanging that flag out there. Because it shouldn't be about what people do sexually that causes us to hang a flag somewhere. The only flags that should ever be hung should be our United States flag, and it's big and beautiful in the back of this room, and a state flag. So shame on the Gaylord.
Yep. Now that's, of course, pushed by Marriott Corporate. We did our best to try to get it removed, and we failed. So and you want to elaborate? By the way, this is not an isolated incident, Congresswoman. The Biden White House had the gay flag prominently displayed this weekend. We could pull that up, where it wasn't just the gay flag, it was the trans flag, new one, with the American flag playing second and third fiddle. So we could put this up on screen. The gay flag had prominence to the American flag flanking it. Your thoughts, Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene?
Absolutely. I called them out because the Pride movement is not about rights for gay people anymore. That has been totally determined for a very long time. Every single American has equal rights. They have the equal right to vote, equal right to be able to buy a home, to have a job if they qualify for job qualifications, get an education, and so much more in America. But that flag that you're showing there, that the White House and Joe Biden prominently displays as more important than the United States American flag, has become a symbol of aggression. And it's an aggression in a type of form that should be concerning to all Americans, and it is to most Americans. This is a sexual agenda, and it's a sexualizing of children, grooming children to believe a complete lie that they can change their gender. And the sexualization and grooming of children to train children to believe that the way they have sex when they get old enough to have sex is how that should identify them as a person is the most perverted. It's abhorrent. It's evil. And it's an attack on our children who are the most innocent among us. And I'm completely disgusted with this. And I call on many people in the gay community. I call on them to stand against this because their movement has been hijacked. And last night, Charlie, I'll finish up one more thing. In the night last night where I live in Washington, D.C., late into the night, all I heard was the crowd all around, all over the streets, having the Pride Festival continuing on. And when I had to drive back to my condo yesterday, I witnessed so much of it as we drove through it all. I mean, I even saw one woman that had no pants on. And this is where families were. There were children present. And I mean, you've seen the videos. They're all over Twitter and how disgusting this is. This has nothing to do with equal rights. This is a movement that has been hijacked, and it is being used to push the worst sexual perversion that we have ever seen in modern day history. And I'm calling it modern day Sodom Gomorrah.
Modern day Sodom and Gomorrah. Media Matters, make sure you quote that one. You know, it's interesting you say that. There is no such thing as a secular society. I use that sometimes. There will be something that replaces whatever religion used to exist. If it was Judeo-Christian values or Christianity, people are not going to believe in nothing. They need symbols. They need traditions. They need rituals. It's part of who we are as a species. And so you remove Christianity, you remove the country, yet you're going to replace it with pagan pleasure, which is what Pride Month is all about. And they say it's all just about celebrating love. And I mean, we have some grotesque images we could throw up there. But the Biden regime, again, this is not some sort of fringe thing. This is not just some sort of thing that happens in some sort of strange gay bar at 2 a.m. in San Francisco. This is your government, right? There are some images right there. This is your government, not just our government. It looks like the German government, and 10 Downing Street is also with the trappings there. I know we have you only for one segment because you have to go vote, Congresswoman. I want your reaction on Donald Trump. Do you believe Donald Trump is gaining popularity in the Republican primary? What are you hearing from the grassroots?
Well, I tell you what, I think that President Trump has had their support all along. The base never left him, ever. But the weaponization of government and what we're seeing coming out of the Department of Justice with communist tactics that we've witnessed for several years now is appalling to so many people that not only has it solidified his support among the base, but he is pulling support among independents, even Democrats, and those Republicans that were supporting other candidates like Ron DeSantis and others. And so this is so unreal to me. I've announced today that I'm writing an appropriations rider to defund Jack Smith's special counsel. But we need to go further. What I read on the 1023 form on Friday of last week that has clear evidence that Joe Biden took a $5 million bribe in order to get Viktor Shokin fired, the prosecutor in Ukraine that was investigating Burisma. This is to a point where I think it's all hands on deck. We must impeach Joe Biden. We have enough evidence. It's unbelievable. The people support it. And everyone sees it clear as day. But President Trump is innocent. The people know it. And I firmly believe that he will win the presidential election, not just the primary, but the general in 2024.
Marjorie Taylor Greene, I know you have to go vote. Thank you so much for your leadership, and we'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Charlie.
All right. Apparently, I'm trending on Twitter, atot.com, which... So it's very funny. Oh, how many tweets do I have about it? Well, it's not even that much. So, you know, Andrew sends me this thing a couple hours ago. He says, Charlie, you're trending on Twitter. And you know you live a busy, full life, a deep life when you say, for what? Because you can't quite pinpoint it. Was it the rant I did on Friday? Was it the tweet? Was it the Unabomber tweet? Which was really good, where we said that the Unabomber flirted with becoming a trans person. You see that, Ryan? I didn't use the word. A trans person? No. Apparently, I'm trending on Twitter for basically telling young women that they should prayerfully consider getting married and having children. This is what the regime chattering class on Twitter is so fired up about. Can't say that. So let's play the clip that is now going viral. Can't say that. You must tell young girls to freeze their eggs, have cats, drink as much wine as possible, have a bunch of gay friends, and do not have boyfriends. Cannot say anything else but that. Okay, what tape is this? Play cut one of the wildly controversial clip that is going viral. Play cut one.
In my personal opinion, you should enter the serious dating pool earlier than not, right? I'm talking 22, 23, 24. This whole idea of putting your career first, I think is a very, very dangerous proposition. It could work out for you, but I hear stories every day. Charlie, I decided to go become a partner at a law firm, and now I'm 32 years old, and I can't find anyone because all the good ones are gone. There is some truth to, quote unquote, the good ones being gone. The window does narrow, and so I think you should prioritize. What do I want most in my life? And if that thing is the best thing that I think a human being can do, which is to get married and have kids, then you should do that with clear intentionality.
That's it. By the way, I was pretty non-judgmental. I said, if you want to do the greatest thing human beings can do, by the way, outside of worship of the Lord, it is the commandment to be fruitful and multiply. Yeah, I mean, if you want to just put your career first and all that, there's a cost to everything in life. And the cost is you could become a partner at a law firm and be a cat person. We have an obligation in our public commentary to tell the truth. Real life has trade-offs and choices. People who say it doesn't are lying to you. You have the agency to make the decision. But how often are young women on these campuses told about the beauty of getting married and having kids? No, they're taught about abortion culture, free sex on demand, and how men are awful and evil. We try to help women with the truth, and the truth is this: that getting married and having children is a beautiful thing. It is the greatest thing a human being can do. Liars are evil, and the secular society that is attacking us and just the kind of pleasure-seeking society. How dare Charlie Kirk tell people not to pursue their career? Well, that comes at a cost. It comes at a price. Maybe it's a price that you're willing to take. But what do you want to live? What do you want to leave behind? By the way, deep down, people want to be married. They want to have kids. And let me be very clear. I was very supportive of people and their dreams. I was really kind of neutral, also honest, though. I didn't play into like the boss babe thing. I was just being strategic about how you might have to time it out and you might have to also date with intentionality. I suppose that is wildly controversial. So there's this tape that is now going viral of this young lady who is complaining that she can't find any liberal men. She says, all the men that are masculine I want to date are conservative. Well, yeah, obviously. To have a masculine liberal man is a walking contradiction. It just not really something I find much of. I'm sure they exist somewhere, and then eventually they'll become more conservative. Ideas matter. And their ideas are so bad, you eventually become a beta, which is the furthest extract. It is the end result of postmodern liberalism, which is have to take, you know, eat a bunch of soy, get my testosterone levels down, can't be too disagreeable, toxic masculinity. When deep down, women want to be led. And this young lady, it's too bad we don't have the tape, but there, she's fired up. She can't find masculine liberals. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.